With Montana News, I'm Edward O'Brien. Congress has approved an agreement to reopen the federal government after a three-day shutdown. The deal is now on its way to President Trump's desk for his signature. Montana Republicans today were quick to pile on U.S. Senator John Tester for voting against ending the government shutdown. State GOP Chair Deborah Lamb, for instance, issued a press release saying Tester continues, quote, to pursue this hostage-taking strategy to protect illegal immigrants over our military, seniors, and children, close quote. Democrat Tester fired back, saying he doesn't much care what his critics think.
I'm wired to fight, and I thought there was a better way to do this. In fact, if Mike Mansfield was alive right now, he'd probably be shaking his head in total disgust. Because you got to work together and you got to get things done. Nobody's paying attention back here right now.
The budget measure needed 60 votes, but 18 senators, including Tester, balked. He said a short-term budget lends no certainty to the military, border security, or rural health clinics. Last week, Tester suggested many bills that have already been introduced individually could be packaged into a single spending bill that would last through the end of the fiscal year in September. Tester says most of those bills have already passed out of committee.
The ones that are left aren't that complicated. I guarantee you we could package those in a week really easily. It's just a matter of having will to do something around here instead of just sitting on our hands.
Montana's Republican Senator Steve Daines voted to end the government shutdown, as did Congressman Greg Gianforte. I'm Edward O'Brien. Thanks for listening.
With Montana News, I'm Nora Sachs. Montana has become the first state to bar telecommunications companies from receiving state contracts if they interfere with internet traffic or favor higher-paying sites or apps under an order from Governor Steve Bullock. The move comes after the Federal Communications Commission last month repealed so-called net neutrality rules that govern broadband providers. Critics contend the change would hurt consumers and make it harder for startup companies to enter the market. A business coalition is asking a judge to stop state officials from imposing a fee on Montana State Fund assets to help plug a budget gap. Lawmakers recently approved a 3% management fee on state fund assets above $1 billion. But the business coalition says employers pay into the fund to make sure injured workers get medical coverage, and state officials can't take the money for Montana's general fund. A Missoula man was killed by an avalanche outside of West Yellowstone in Idaho Saturday. 46-year-old Raymond John Moe and three companions were riding motorized snow bikes up a drainage to the south of Rays Peak outside of Island Park in the Centennial Range and triggered a slide above them. Doug Chabot, director of the Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Center, says this is the second avalanche fatality in the area in 2 weeks.
So right now, especially in these southern areas, I'm really recommending that people are, you know, they kind of notch it back a little, and that this is not the time to be getting onto big slopes. This is not the time to be trying to high mark peaks or anything. And what we're also seeing is that small avalanches that are triggered from low on the slope can be deadly.
Chabot says the avalanche that buried Moe was 600 feet wide, 300 feet long, and 2.5 feet deep. All four men in the party wore beacons and carried shovels and probes. Moe also wore an avalanche airbag, but it was not deployed. His friends were able to locate and free him of the snow. They performed CPR and a life flight responded, but Moe could not be resuscitated. Chabot says this is the nation's seventh avalanche fatality this season. The Gallatin Avalanche Center posts avalanche forecasts every morning. 18 Montanans have died of the flu this season. The state health department says that all but three counties have reported at least one case of influenza, for a total just shy of 2,000 infections statewide. Hillary Hansen is a health officer with the Flathead County Health Department.
It's definitely a lot more cases than we had last year at this time, but we're not sure if that means our flu season is going to peak earlier or whether this could be a more serious season that will continue.
Hansen says there's been 300 reported cases of the virus in Flathead County, leading to 40 hospitalizations and 5 deaths. Of the 18 deaths statewide, all but 2 were adults over the age of 65. Hansen recommends getting a flu vaccination and for people experiencing symptoms to limit exposure with others, especially young children, people over the age of 65, and pregnant women. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention's study of the nation's most at risk for HIV has two Montana counties listed and Montana health officials perplexed. Mineral County ranks 161st out of 220 on the CDC study, and Treasure County is ranked 211th. Mineral County has around 4,000 residents, and Treasure County has 700. Jim Murphy of the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services questions the methodology used by the CDC to come up with the rankings. According to the Missoulian, Murphy said there is no HIV epidemic in either county. The CDC launched its study in the wake of a 2015 epidemic of HIV infections in Indiana. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox is praising a Supreme Court decision that allows legal challenges to the Obama administration's Waters of the United States, or WOTUS, rule to continue. Eric Sell is with the Montana Department of Justice.
This is a big victory for the state of Montana. It's a big victory for the rule of law. And now this will allow the process to the legal challenges of unlawful acts by the Obama administration to go forward.
The court's ruling today means lawsuits disputing the rule will proceed through federal district courts instead of federal circuit courts of appeal. WOTUS clarifies what types of water bodies are applicable under the regulations of the Clean Water Act, so-called navigable waters. In 2015, a 13-state coalition, including Montana, filed a lawsuit in federal court challenging the legality of the rule adopted by the EPA and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Last February, President Trump issued an executive order to reevaluate WOTUS, beginning what many saw as a repeal of the rule. Durf Johnson is the Water Program Director with the Montana Environmental Information Center. He says today's ruling makes sense, but cautions that an eventual repeal of WOTUS will be a setback for the state's water resources.
I think it puts us in a position where we don't have as great of a deal of protections for clean water in Montana.
Montana's case will now move forward to a federal district court judge in North Dakota. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.